When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
They found that chronic stress increases cortisol levels in the body, which impacts memory, learning, and even physical growth. This study was done in the Harvard Center on a developing child. We witness this as teachers. What we often do is that we see a child, for example, experiencing sleep disturbance. They'll sleep in class. The studies have shown that they've got poor immune systems. They're always getting sick. They're having stomach aches, headaches, and even stunted brain development. My brothers and sisters, I got sent some really shocking statistics, and we've researched these statistics and found that there is something huge happening, even in the Muslim communities, and it has a long impact. So let's talk about what actually happens to children when they grow up in emotionally unstable, high conflict or toxic environments. Whether the parents are divorced or still living under the same roof, you'll find these statistics, they apply to them in the same way. The first thing is mental health consequences. Children, this is from the American Psychiatric Board, it says children from high conflict homes are 3 times more likely to develop anxiety and depression even if the parents never divorce. These children often show symptoms of emotional dysregulation, frequent mood swings, outbursts, or withdrawal, which appeared in the Journal of Family Psychology. Some grow up to be adults who cannot express themselves except through anger or complete shutdown. Toxic homes teach children that love is unpredictable. One day warm, one day cold, this becomes their emotional default. And so love becomes a tool rather than a blessing. They learn that love is to be used against each other as a punishment to give or don't give or withhold, rather than thinking of love is existing in everything. Even if you disagree, love calls you to reconcile. If you depart, love calls you to be kind and fair. Love calls us to forgive. Love calls us to pardon. Love calls us to let go. Love calls us to still show mercy. But instead, they look at love as cold and hot, punishing and used as a tool, unfortunately. Brothers and sisters, this is a silent killer. We have to be very aware of it. The brain development and stress responses are affected in a child growing up in such a family. The statistics and studies show that constant exposure to conflict and tension triggers the amygdala, which is a part of the brain responsible for, well, it controls the fear center. To be in a permanent state of alarm. Amazing studies. Alarm. What does this mean? And I've seen it in students and children growing up, that they develop a sense of always being alarmed about everything around them. What does that mean? It means everyone is untrustworthy. Everyone has a motive. Everyone is jealous of them. Everyone is out to get them. Always paranoid, to the point where it gets so extreme with some of them that they don't trust any relationships, and they cannot hold any relationships because they're always paranoid, always thinking that every word, every statement, everything a person is saying, if it's not them, it's the people around them, it's their friends, it's someone else, they're out there to get them because they're always alert, always alarmed by things around them. Forgive me, brothers and sisters, but these are the multiple studies shown, even by Muslims and researchers who have done them. They found that chronic stress increases cortisol levels in the body, which impacts memory, learning, and even physical growth. This study was done in the Harvard Center on a developing child. We witness this as teachers. What we often do is that we see a child, for example, experiencing sleep disturbance. They'll sleep in class. Sometimes we find studies have shown that they've got poor immune systems. They're always getting sick. They're having stomach aches, headaches, and even stunted brain development. As one psychologist said, children in high conflict homes live as if a lion is in the house all the time. Another child said to me, Sir, I feel like when I'm at home, I'm walking on eggshells with mum, or eggshells with dad, or eggshells with other extended family, eggshells. Don't know what to say, what to do. Another thing that happens is behavioral issues and school struggles. Studies have shown that there is more likely for these children to struggle with focus, discipline, and impulse control. We often mislabel this behavior as, that's just a naughty kid. They were born naughty. They're just obnoxious and that's it. Disobedient or slow learners, we call them. When in reality, they are just emotionally overwhelmed. Now, there are some students who do have some cognitive delay and they're born with some, you know, from birth, you know, some cognitive issues that they can work on. It's not necessarily the parents' fault or whatever happened. But wallahi, a large number of them who have delays in their learning and their focus and so on, we find that a big number of them, one of the causes, we find out in the home, there is big conflict. And we find these types of parents, unfortunately, when they come to us to the schools or when we counsel, we find in their behavior and in their attitude, in the meanings, it shows straight away. Whether their child is right or wrong, whether their child starts the fight or doesn't start the fight. No matter what it is, the child is always right and they'll defend them tooth and nail and they'll make up stuff. Ya akhi, you are spoiling them rotten and they're going to end up fighting with you. They're going to have fights all their lives. They're going to be obnoxious that way. Nah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, help and assist your brother or sister, whether they are the perpetrators or they are the victims. They said, we know how to help them when they're the victims, ya Rasulullah. You know, they're the ones being bullied. We know how to help them. But how do we help them when they're the bullies, when they're the perpetrators? He said,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
By stopping them from being the bully and the perpetrator. This is how you help your brother in Islam and your sister in Islam and your children and each other. They tend to act out at school because that's the only environment they can release the tension they feel at home. Wallahi al-azim, this is true. I have seen it in my teaching career. They're one thing at home, another thing at school because they're acting out. Someone told me that a teacher once told a mother, your son starts fights in the classroom. It turns out he was copying what he saw every day between his parents. A more serious case that happens through high conflict situations is substance abuse and risky behavior, even sexual behavior, irresponsible and haram. Teenagers from homes filled with conflict, they said, are twice as likely to engage in drug or alcohol abuse. The National Institute of Drug Abuse. Girls from high conflict families are more likely to enter toxic relationships, mistaking abuse for attention. That's what avoid happens, my dear brothers and sisters, unfortunately. Boys may seek control or numbness through risky behavior, gangs, pornographic addictions, sexual addictions, unfortunately, because they want to find a place, they want to mean, they want to feel that there's something, that they're noticed, that they have an importance, that they're alive, that they're attractive, that they're attracted. And when the heart is starved of love, it starts feeding off poison. I like that quote. They develop attachment wounds in adult relationships. Children raised in emotionally volatile homes tend to grow up with insecure attachment styles. Avoidant. They fear intimacy and shut down when things get hard. Anxious. They cling to people terrified of being left. They may normalize dysfunctional behaviors where yelling equals passion. They think that when you yell, you're passionate. They think that control is actual love. When you're in controlling someone, it's because you love them, which is wrong. And they think that silence equals peace. Peace is talking about things, finding solutions and talking together, reasoning and finding ways of how to do it better next time. A sister once said, I didn't know that a calm home was an option. I thought walking on eggshells was just normal marriage, unfortunately. Another thing that happens is self-worth and identity. When a child constantly hears criticism, insults, or sarcasm, they internalize it by saying to themselves, if my parents don't value me, I must not be valuable. They grow up into adults who either overcompensate or please others or isolate to protect themselves. Some even believe they are inherently flawed or unlovable, all because of the emotional climate they grew up in. Wallahi lazim, this is true. I see it day in, day out, unfortunately. They don't think that their parents are broken. They think that they themselves are broken. And lastly, or two more things, physical health concerns. And studies have shown that they are likely to develop chronic health issues like heart disease, obesity, and autoimmune disorders. They're more likely to have weakened immunity, digestive issues, and sleep disorders. Emotional pain doesn't stay in their mind. It lives in their body too. Self-harm, and forgive me, I don't want to say the word, but thinking of unaliving themselves. And studies have shown that they think about it more. Other studies link childhood exposure to domestic tension with higher rates of self-harm, eating disorders, and emotional numbness. Many of the adults seeking therapy today are not broken. They are just children who grew up emotionally neglected or bruised. So we always talk about the child, or we talk about their deen, we talk about their Islam and their identity again and again. You know, I've even had teenagers and children say, have a whole different understanding of religion. Total opposite. You know, I take it easy. I don't jump to judgment when I hear someone, a Muslim, say to me, I hate what Islam has done to me. Of course, this is a word of disbelief, but I don't judge them of disbelief. Wallahi al-Azim. Why? I first have to ask them, what led them to say that? And often I found that they're not talking about Islam itself, they're talking about the version of Islam that was taught to them. And when I fix certain Islamic concepts, wallahi, some of them cry. They say, I love Islam. Where do I find this Islam? Because they grew up with a different version of Islam. An Islam of judgment and calamities and not allowed to do this and that when Islam has made it halal, certain things, yes, certain things are haram. Judgment and fighting and conflict and making life so hard when Islam came to actually make life easier and peaceful. My brothers and sisters, look, I thought these statistics and these studies are important for us to learn about. And I'm talking also from experience and from an Islamic perspective too. But if we're not aware of the negatives, we're not going to know what the positives are. And we're not going to be aware of ourselves. And then we begin to distract ourselves with other world problems when we can't do anything about them, when the problem inside of our home is ruined. That's why Allah tells us, save yourself and your family. He doesn't tell you change the world. Save yourself and the family and watch what happens to the world. Watch what happens to your community. Or at least what you become. Ibrahim alayhi salam could not change his community. He couldn't change the world. And Allah called him by himself an ummah. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ibrahim was a nation of his own. Isn't that what matters? Allah will judge me and you by ourselves. He's not going to say to you, why didn't you change the world? Why didn't you save the people of Gaza? Allah will ask you, what did you do within your capacity? But what did you do with your salat? What did you do with your character? What did you do with your children? What did you do with your spouse? What did you do with your home? What did you do with yourself? The things Allah will tell you what I gave you control over. Wallahi, this is what Allah is going to ask us. Everything else, it connects later.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.